The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online. For our daily social media minute, we're now joined by Erica via Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Technically, today's your day off, isn't it?
Yeah, half, I guess.
Halfway there.
Yeah, half.
Thanks for joining us, Erica. Let's get started. So Miss Chunhyang Beauty Pageant has persisted for years, it turns out, and it had been pretty exclusive for two local candidates. Now, they've accepted foreign candidates for the very first time in its 75-year history.
That's right. I mean, the name of the beauty pageant itself, Chunhyang Beauty Pageant, it's very Korean, isn't it? And it was a surprise to me to come across this news that they're accepting foreign participants for the first time in its 75-year history. So they're accepting applicants from five countries: China, Japan, Vietnam, Indonesia, and Canada.
And here's why it comes as a pleasant surprise, because this annual pageant awards gives a title of Ms. Chunhyang to contestants who best represent Korean traditional values.
That's right. Now, the contest had only been open previously to Korean nationals and Koreans living abroad. Now, the beauty pageant is named after the heroine of the beloved Korean folktale, Chunhyangjeon, which is a love story between the daughter of a courtesan and the son of a government official. The Miss Chunhyang beauty pageant has taken place in Namwon in Jeollabuk-do province, where the story itself takes place, and it has been taking place in Namwon since 1950. Now, the preliminary rounds of the contest have wrapped up in China, Japan, Vietnam, and Indonesia, but applications are apparently being collected in Canada through Saturday, so still a few more days to go.
I wonder if there was high demand coming from Canada, because one of our listeners, Aaron, raised a question of these newly added five countries to allow to compete in Miss Chunhyang this year. China, Japan, Vietnam, Indonesia, that feels geographically close. And then there's Canada.
Yeah, I know, right? It kind of seems random, but yeah, I guess there is high demand in Canada.
Maybe. Yeah. That's our educated guess anyway. Now, will the participants have to travel to Namwon to take part in the final event?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Airline tickets to Korea are going to be provided to the participants taking, you know, part in the final part of the event on May 15th in Namwon.
I have a few friends who competed in past Miss Korea pageants. I remember when they were very, because we were young when that was a possibility, I suppose, or a dream. And they told me off the record, so I won't share who, but the biggest reason why they competed in Miss Korea was because they wanted the flight, the free ticket to Korea.
Oh, that's surprising. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
So we're going to move on. Okay. Yeah. So what are the reasons for the pageant's expansion beyond Korea at Miss Chunhyang this year?
Yeah, so the organizing committee of the pageant says that it wants to transform the Chunhyang Festival, which is a local celebration in Namwon, and they want to turn it into a global event, basically.
Okay.
The pageant is the main event at the Chunhyang Festival. The committee says that it plans to start receiving applications from more countries next year after it reviews how this year's pageant turns out and after getting feedback.
I mean, this makes sense, right? I mean, pageants want to stay up to date, remain relevant, and they have to make adjustments here and there. And inclusivity is definitely one of the ways to achieve that. Now, how many competitors will walk away with a title this year?
Yes, so six competitors are going to walk away with a title. The titles are Jin Seon-mi, Jung Suk-hyun, which refer to traditional Korean virtues, including honesty, goodness, beauty, righteousness, virtuousness, and wisdom. And the prize money awarded to the competitors are going to range from 1 million won, or $760, to 10 million won, or $7,600.
But maybe more so than even the prize money, it's about the title that you carry, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Miss Chunhyang, happening this year with much more inclusivity. Our second buzzword this morning, ever heard of Mom's Table? If you haven't, we'll get you all caught up. It's an initiative that celebrates a decade of delivering free lunch boxes to hungry children in particular.
Yeah, so there's this program called 엄마의 밥상, or Mom's Table, in Jeonju City. And it's about making sure that kids don't go hungry or they don't start their day hungry. And for the last 10 years, the initiative has been delivering warm, freshly prepared, delicious lunch boxes every morning to kids who might otherwise skip their first meal of the day. And the program was launched in 2014, and the goal was pretty clear: no kid goes hungry on our watch.
That's lovely, isn't it? What a warm meal can do to start off the day. And just naming is excellent because Mom's Table sounds delicious. Now,
Of
who are
course.
the children benefiting from the program?
Many of them are either living with their grandparents or they have parents who, due to disabilities, might struggle to provide their kids with breakfast. So every weekday, the city sends out these lunch boxes packed with rice, soup, and three kinds of banchan or side dishes. The meal costs about 9,000 won per meal. But on Fridays, they throw in some extra food to last through the weekend. And this way, kids have breakfast sorted every single day of the year. And on their birthdays, the kids also get something extra, a cake or even a cultural gift voucher worth 40,000 won. Now, this initiative started out with 183 kids. The number has now expanded to around 270 children.
Jerka, I remember talking to you during the worst of the pandemic, how things were even more difficult from children who came from underprivileged backgrounds, for example, right? If you didn't have the ability to go to school, you probably didn't have access to cafeteria food or these meal plans provided at elementary, middle, high schools. Now, the initiatives, I'm assuming so, must have been much more helpful during that time.
Yes, I mean, it was a lifesaver for many families. And I have to mention the team in charge of the cooking. They're just so amazing. They begin prepping every day at around 4 a.m. to get the meals out by 7 a.m. so the kids can have a full belly before they go off to school. And sometimes it's really rewarding for the workers as well because the kids, they send back thank you notes in empty lunch boxes. So they open the empty lunch box to find a note that reads, "Everything was super delicious. I had two bowls of rice today. I can't wait for my next lunch box." And it's not just about the meals either. The program has really touched the hearts of many people across the community, and local businesses and citizens have been chipping in. We're talking about everything donated from snacks, beef to clothes. This initiative was even voted Jeonju City's top policy back in 2015. It was even showcased as a standout policy at a national expo.
It sounds like solid grounds to give back on. And sometimes, we have to readjust our perspective, right? An act of kindness, how far it can go.
Goes a long way.
Yesterday I came across an interview by, I believe, actress Kong Yoo-jin's mother, who apparently for 20 years has been serving in rather quietly until rather recently about this volunteer job she took part in for 20 years and plus. And she cooks hot meals for the elderly and the homeless. And it was a beautiful interview. And I thought, okay, a small act of kindness.
That's amazing. I'm gonna look up that story actually. Thanks for sharing.
All right, let's move on to our final buzzword this morning. The man in, well, an iron lung, literally. He passed away after living in a cylinder for more than 70 years, but that's not without achieving some amazing feats in his lifetime.
I mean, seriously, I was reading this long article, online this morning, several of them actually. He's well known. Paul Alexander is his name. He was 78 when he recently passed away. He contracted polio at the age of 6 in 1950. Now, this was the year when there was a huge surge in the number of children who contracted polio, like in the tens of thousands, right? And it left him paralyzed, neck down, and he had to rely for the rest of his life on a mechanical respirator to breathe for much of the time. He was confined to this, like, it sort of looks like a small submarine,
It
right?
does.
You can't see his body save for his head. He was in this machine for most of his life, but he excelled in his studies. He was always a straight A student. He went to university, earned a law degree. He fell in love worked as a practicing lawyer in the legal field. He even wrote a book, and none of this was easy for him, obviously. He had to fight for himself every single step of the way. Every achievement that he did, he accomplished, he had to fight for it. And he said one of the things that triggered this drive to live and to excel at everything he did was a memory from childhood. He remembers laying down in the hospital just days after he contracted polio and he was in the cylinder. He's 6 years old and he would hear doctors talk to one another, right? Doctors would say things like, he's going to die today and he shouldn't be alive. And he lay there listening to all of this and it made him furious. And he wanted to prove to everybody that they were wrong. And he just, he went for life and he lived a full life.
You know,
Such
Erica, I'm a firm believer in proving naysayers wrong being one of the strongest motivation. I'm not quite sure if all of us can say that I can go to this extent. This is a remarkable life well lived.
Yep, exactly. And for those of you who are wondering what an iron lung is, it's basically sealed chambers that are fitted with pumps. It raises and lowers the pressure inside the chamber, and it basically acts as a person's lungs. And it was invented in the 20s. However, their use fell away after the invention of the polio vaccine in 19, well, before that, but the polio vaccine became widely available by 1955.
All right. So, I mean, he became TikTok famous because not only did he write a book, he had several interviews, but he also made sure that his contents were shared with the new generation, by uploading TikTok videos of his own, right?
That's right. That book that he wrote, 3 Minutes for a Dog, it was published in 2020. It took him 8 years to write it. Because he's paralyzed, he had to use a plastic stick and a pen to tap out his story on the keyboard or dictating the words to his friend and former nurse.
I can't even, I don't even have words. I don't think humbling covers it. The man in Iron Man, Iron Lung, excuse me. May he rest in peace.
Thank you, rest in peace.
Thanks, Erica. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.